Welcome to Zichu Daf Sin Bani Member by Ram Gold. I am the Rimasekhs Bab Matsia, Daf Kuf Yud Ches, the 10th Parak Habayis Vahaliya. So the three topics are going to focus on. Nerman Rabba said that Habata Behefker, whether watching ownerless property acquires it, is a Malchokas Tanayim. A Mishnah states, Shomrei Svichei Shvi'is, those who guard the aftergrowths of Shemitah to use the Omer and Shtei Alechem, are paid from the Trumot Zalishka, Hekdesh funds from the annual half shekel tax. Ryosi says, Harotze, Misnadev Hu Veshomer Chinam, whoever wants can volunteer and watch it for free. The sages respond that if so, in Bar Mishal Tzibur, the offerings will not come from the community, but the watchman. Rav explains that the Tanakhama holds Habata acquires Hefker, so if the watchman is not paid, he'll personally own the aftergrowths. Rav Yossi holds Habata does not acquire, so the public will acquire the groves when they harvest it. Two other interpretations are offered. Number one, all agree Habata does acquire Hefker, and they argue if Chayshin Shemelo Yimsim or Yafi Yafa were concerned that perhaps he'll not transfer them to the community wholeheartedly. Number two, all agree Habata does not acquire, and argue if Chayshin Labal Yisroos were concerned that strong-armed men may forcibly take the groves. Paying from Hekdesh creates the impression they belong to Hekdesh, which discourages people from taking them. Point number two, Abai said that Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and Rabbi Shimon all hold Kol Makom Shenasnu Chachamim Rishus, wherever the sages gave one permission to do something, vihizig, and thereby cause damage, pater, he's exempt from paying. Number one, Rabbi Yehuda taught in a braisa that one is permitted to leave manure in Rishus Rabim during the season when this was commonly done, and in another braisa taught that wherever the sages permitted someone to place something harmful in Rishus Rabim, he's pater from paying. The Tanakhama says he's chayev. Number two, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel taught in our Mishnah, af matakan hu es malachto lifnei shoshim yom, one may even prepare his work by storing materials in Rishus Rabim for 30 days beforehand. Rashi explains that since the Tanakhama said one is high for items left in Rishus Rabim with permission, Rav Shimon Gamliel's response is understood to be arguing. And number three, Rav Shimon taught in the Mishnah regarding safety measurements given to prevent one's oven from starting a fire, that one who follows these requirements is exempt from any damage which may occur. And pointing with you, the final Mishnah states regarding two gardens, one above the other, and vegetables are growing in the vertical surface between them, so their roots are in the upper garden soil, but the shoot systems are in the lower garden's airspace. Rav Meir says they belong to the higher garden's owner. Rav Yehuda says they belong to the lower garden's owner. Rav Meir argues that since each party can prevent the vegetable's existence, the upper owner can remove a soil and the lower owner can fill his garden's airspace, we follow where their nourishment is from, meaning the upper garden. Rav Shimon has a third opinion. Anything the upper owner can stretch his hand and take belongs to him, and the rest belongs to the lower owner. Rav said that all Tanaim agree that the roots belong to the upper garden's owner, and they only argue about the shoots above ground. Rav Meir holds shteinofo basi ikaro, throw its shoot after its root to follow its halacha, and Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. So once again, the three points are number one. Rabbi said the Habata Behefker, whether watching ownerless property acquires it, is Malchokas Hanayim. A Mishnah states, Shomrei Svichei Shvi'is, those who guard the aftergrowths of Shemitah to use the Omer and Shtei Alechem, are paid from the Trumot Zalishka, Hekdesh funds from the annual half-shekel tax. Ryosi says, Harotze, Misnadev Hu Veshomer Chinam, whoever wants can volunteer and watch it for free. The sages respond that if so, in Bar Mishal Tzibur, the offerings will not come from the community, but the watchman. Rav explains that the Tanakhama holds Habata acquires Hefker, so if the watchman is not paid, he'll personally own the aftergrowths. Rav Yossi holds Habata does not acquire, so the public will acquire the groves when they harvest it. Two other interpretations are offered. Number one, all agree Habata does acquire Hefker, and they argue if Chayshin Shemelo Yimsim or Yafi Yafa were concerned that perhaps he'll not transfer them to the community wholeheartedly. Number two, all agree Habata does not acquire, and argue if Chayshin Labal Yisroos were concerned that strong-armed men may forcibly take the groves. Paying from Hekdesh creates the impression they belong to Hekdesh, which discourages people from taking them. Point number two, Abai said that Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and Rabbi Shimon all hold Kol Makom Shenasnu Chachamim Rishus, wherever the sages gave one permission to do something, vihizig, and thereby cause damage, pater, he's exempt from paying. Number one, Rabbi Yehuda taught in a braisa that one is permitted to leave manure in Rishus Rabim during the season when this was commonly done, and in another braisa taught that wherever the sages permitted someone to place something harmful in Rishus Rabim, he's pater from paying. The Tanakhama says he's chayev. Number two, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel taught in our Mishnah, af matakan hu es malachto lifnei shoshim yom, one may even prepare his work by storing materials in Rishus Rabim for 30 days beforehand. Rashi explains that since the Tanakhama said one is high for items left in Rishus Rabim with permission, Rav Shimon Gamliel's response is understood to be arguing. And number three, Rav Shimon taught in the Mishnah regarding safety measurements given to prevent one's oven from starting a fire, that one who follows these requirements is exempt from any damage which may occur. And point me through the final mission states regarding two gardens, one above the other, and vegetables are growing in the vertical surface between them. So their roots are in the upper garden soil, but the shoot systems are in the lower garden's airspace. Ramirez says they belong to the higher garden's owner. Rebuta says it belonged to the lower garden's owner. Ramirez argues that since each party can prevent the vegetable's existence, the upper owner can remove a soil and the lower owner can fill his garden's airspace, we follow where their nourishment is from, meaning the upper garden. Rabbi Shimon has a third opinion. Anything the upper owner can stretch his hand and take belongs to him, and the rest belongs to the lower owner. Rava said that all Tanaim agree that the roots belong to the upper garden's owner, and they only argue about the shoots above ground. Rabbi Meir holds shteinofo basi ikaro, throw its shoot after its root to follow its halacha, and Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. All right, so now we go to our simon daf kuf yud ches, and our standard simon is kichel. Kichel, so here goes. The avid kichel maker watching Hefker wheat for hektish, knowing he'll be paid to avoid acquiring the wheat by mere watching it, was exempt from damages when his oven full of kichel on the second story of a building caught fire, since he was careful to follow safety regulations, which thankfully a neighbor noticed as he was pulling out shoots growing out of the vertical slope between their gardens. Once again, slow motion. The avid kichel maker, kichel, that must be on duff. Kuf Yud Ches. The avid kichel maker watching Hefker wheat for hektish, knowing he'll be paid to avoid acquiring the wheat by mere watching it, which reminds us, Rabban said Habanta beHefker, whether watching ownerless property acquires it is a Malchokas Tanaim. A Mishnah states, Shomei Svichei Shviz, those who guard the after Grus HaShmitah to use the Omer and Shtei Alechem are paid from the Trumas Alishka. Rav Yossi says, Harotz Misnadev Hu V'Shomer Chinam, whoever wants can volunteer and watch it for free. The sages respond that if so, Ein Boin Mishal Tzibur, the offerings will not come from the community, but the watchman. Rabbi explains that the Tanakhama holds Habata acquires Hefker, so if the watchman is not paid, he will personally own the aftergrowth. Rabbi Yossi holds Habata does not acquire, so the public will acquire the gross when they harvest it. So the avid kichel maker watching Hefker wheat for hektish, knowing he'll be paid to avoid acquiring the wheat by mere watching it, was exempt from damages when his oven full of kichel on the second story of a building caught fire, since he was careful to follow safety regulations, which reminds us, Abai said that Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and Rabbi Shimon all hold, wherever the sages gave one permission to do something, v'hizik, and thereby caused damage, patu, he's exempt from paying. Rabbi Shimon taught in a mission regarding safety measurements given to prevent one's oven from starting a fire that one who follows these requirements is patu from any damage which may occur. So the avid kichel maker watching Hefker wheat for hektish, knowing he'll be paid to avoid acquiring the wheat by mere watching it, was exempt from damages when his oven full of kichel on the second story of a building caught fire, since he was careful to follow safety regulations, which thankfully a neighbor noticed as he was pulling out shoots growing out of the vertical slope between the gardens, which reminds us. The final mission states regarding two gardens, one above the other, and vegetables are growing in the vertical surface between them, so their roots are in the upper garden soil, but the shoot systems are in the lower garden's airspace. Ramirez says they belong to the higher garden's owner, since we follow the nourishment from the upper garden. Ramirez says they belong to the lower garden's owner. Rabbi Shimon has a third opinion. Anything the upper owner can stretch his hand and take belongs to him, and the rest belongs to the lower owner. So once again, the avid kichel maker watching Hefker wheat for hektish, knowing he'll be paid to avoid acquiring the wheat by mere watching it, was exempt from damages when his oven full of kichel on the second story of a building caught fire, since he was careful to follow safety regulations, which thankfully a neighbor noticed as he was pulling out shoots growing out of the vertical slope between their gardens. All right, so now it's time for four blabach chazara. Daf Kuf Yadod, so the Simmer Daf Kuf Yadod is a kiddie amusement park. So here goes. The children at the kiddie amusement park, that must be on Daf Kuf Yadod, kiddie. The children at the kiddie amusement park who were waiting in line at the Masadrim booth, where someone would assess their basic needs for collecting the Arkham pledges, but not their Hektish ones, which reminds us we have Malchuk's whether we are a Masadr when it comes to a pledge of Hektish. Barpada and Ilfa say we do not, based on the Kavach Homer from a Balcho, whereas Rabbi Yochanan holds that we do. So, the children at the kiddie amusement park who are waiting in line at the Masadrim booth, where some would assess their basic needs for collecting the Arkham pledges, but not their hektish ones, watch one boy do the idolater cemetery run, where the goal was to use a cloak to pick up fragrant leaves, which reminds us the Gemara brings the instant Rabba Bar Avuah meeting Elio in a cemetery of idolaters, and Elio taking him to Gan Eden, telling him to use his cloak to collect leaves in order to become wealthy. So, the children at the kiddie amusement park who were waiting in line at the Masadrim booth, where some would assess their basic needs for collecting the Arkham pledges, but not their hektish ones, watch one boy do the idolater cemetery run, where the goal was to use a cloak to pick up fragrant leaves, right next to where another boy was playing pledge pursuit, pretending to be a lender and retrieving the mushroom from Yosomim after his borrower play dead, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan said, Mishkano, if the lender took a mashkan from the borrower and returned it to him when he needed it, umes, and the borrower died, shomto me al gabi banav, the lender may pull it off his sons for collection. Although one normally cannot collect metaltim from Yosomim, this lender can because he acquired the mashkan. Daf kuf tesvav. So the simon daf kuf tesvav is a katoris maker. So here goes. The lender who took the wealthy woman's katoris maker, katoris, that must be more in daf kuf tesvav. The lender who took the wealthy woman's katoris maker, as a mashkon, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Amanda ben Shia, Nia ben Shia Ashira, a widow, whether she's poor or wealthy, em mashkinoisa, we do not take a mashkon from her, because the Torah says, we'll talk about Begat Amanda, you shall not take as security the garment of a widow. In a brisa, this ruling is quoted from Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Shimon argues and says, one may take a mashkon from a wealthy widow. The Torah only prohibited taking a mashkon from a poor widow because he must return it daily, and you would thereby give her a bad name among her neighbors who would suspect her of improper conduct. The machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is based on whether we're dorish, time and akra, whether we expand the reasons from the pasuk. So the lender who took the wealthy woman's katoris maker as a mashkon wisely left behind a portable mill, which would have made him chayiv for two sets of malkas, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that one who takes a portable mill as a mashkon transgresses a love, and is chayiv for two kalim, because the Torah writes him separately, Oyachbo rechayim v'rachiv, ye shall not take a lower millstone or upper millstone for security. There's malchokas whether one is also chayiv for taking kol davar she'osim bo ochel nefesh, anything used for food preparation, because the pasuk says ki nefesh hu chovel, for he is taking a life as a security. So the lender took the wealthy woman's katoris maker as a mashkon, wisely left behind a portable mill, which would have made him chayiv for two sets of malchus, after recalling how he was lashed twice the previous pesach for eating the carbon pesach partially raw, which reminds us, Rava says if one ate a carbon pesach na, partially raw, he incurs two sets of malchus, one for the specific na of the pasuk, and another for the general prohibition of ki'im sli esh, unless it's roasted over a fire. If he ate a cooked, he incurs malchus for mavushal, cooked, as well as for ki'im sli esh. If he ate partially raw and cooked, he's chayiv for all three prohibitions. Abai says ein lokin olav shebekolos, one does not incur malchus for general prohibition. Daf Kuf Tes Zayin. So the simon Daf Kuf Tes Zayin is haircuts, and we use a barber in the simon. So here goes. The barber, that must be more Daf Kuf Tes Zayin, haircuts. The barber who sees the butcher's shechita knife as a mashkon, which he kept among his scissors, and was told to return it and go to Beis Din to prove his claim, which reminds us, the Gemara relates that a man once sees a shechita knife as a mashkon, and Abai told him to return it since it's used for food preparation, and then he should go to Beis Din to claim his debt, which he would have to prove. Rava said he does not need to bring proof and may claim up to the knife's value. Since it was in his possession and no edim saw him take it, he could have claimed he had bought it. Since he didn't, he must be telling the truth that this debt is owed to him, provided it's not more than the knife's value. So the barber who sees the butcher's shechita knife as a mashkon, which he kept among his scissors, and was told to return it and go to Beis Din to prove his claim, offered free haircuts to his two neighbors that were dividing the rubble of their two-story house, which collapsed, which reminds us, the 10th parak begins, Habayis v'aliyah shel shnayim shenafu. If a ground floor and an upper story belonging to two people collapsed, they both divide the wood, stones, and earth based on the relative heights of the two structures, and we assess which stones were most likely to break and distribute the stones accordingly. So the barber sees the butcher's shechita knife as a mashkon, which he kept among his scissors, and was told to return it and go to Beis Din to prove his claim, offered free haircuts to his two neighbors that were dividing the rubble of their two-story house, which collapsed, as well as to the neighbor renting the upper story of the house next door, which partially collapsed and was now living downstairs with the homeowner until repairs were made, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if a rented upper story partially collapsed and the homeowner does not want to repair it, the tenant of the upper story may descend and live in the lower apartment until the homeowner repairs the upper story. Rav Yossi says the tenant is responsible to provide the plaster which covers the ceiling. Rabbi explains the case as Baruba, where most of the four collapsed, but Shmuel says it applies even Barabba, where only four square tefachim of four collapsed. Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. So the simon Daf Kuf Yud Zayin is a gabbai with a lot of keys. So here goes. The gabbai who wasn't thrilled to give his tenant who moved in when the upper story he rented collapsed one of his keys to his front door. Gabbai, keys? That must run Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. The gabbai who wasn't thrilled to give his tenant who moved in when the upper story he rented collapsed one of his keys to his front door, which reminds us the Mishnah taught that if a rented upper story collapses, the tenant may move into the landlord's lower apartment. Rabbi Abba Rama asked three questions about this fight, one of them being, assuming that they share the apartment, can the tenant use the ground floor entrance, or must he use his former entrance to the upper apartment and then descend into the lower apartment? Perhaps the tenant can argue, although I originally agreed to make an ascent into my apartment, I didn't accept to make an ascent and descent to enter my apartment. So the gabbai who wasn't thrilled to give his tenant who moved in when the upper story he rented collapsed one of his keys to his front door and was already upset when the resident in the upper story of the shul next door caused water damage to his kibbutz in the shul down below, which reminds us, the Gemara relates an incident about two people living on two stories where the plaster of the upper story deteriorated so that when the upper resident washed his hands, the water would flow to the lower story and damage the property there. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said the upper resident must fix the plaster, but Rabbi Chiya bar Rabbi Yossi said the lower resident must fix it. The Gemara explains that the first holds al mazigal harkig atzas mon anizak. It's the damager's responsibility to distance himself from the property being damaged, so he must repair the plaster to avoid damaging. The second opinion holds it's the nizak's responsibility to avoid the damage, so he fixes the plaster. So the gabbai wasn't thrilled to give his tenant who moved in when the upper story he rented collapsed one of his keys to his front door, and was already upset when the resident in the upper story of the shul next door caused water damage to his kibbutz in the shul down below, wondered how the upper owner was doing who rebuilt and lived in the lower floor of a building that the lower owner refused to rebuild, which reminds us. The next mission states that if a two-story building owned by two people collapse and the lower owner refuses to rebuild the lower apartment, the upper owner may build the lower apartment and he may live in it until the lower owner pays him expenses. Rebuta objects, Av zed dar betok shel chavero, even this is a case of one living in his fellow's property, sarko ha'osu schar, and therefore must pay him rent since he's benefiting from it. Rather, the upper owner builds both stories and then may live in the lower story until his expenses are paid since he no longer benefits by living there. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which daf do we discuss an upper owner rebuilding and living in the lower apartment if the lower owner refuses to rebuild? That's on daf Kuf Yud Zayin. Good. Number two, which daf do the incident Rabba Bar Avuha meeting Eliyahu in a cemetery of idolaters? That's on daf Kuf Yud Daled. Good. Number three, which daf do we about three tanaim who hold that where the chachamim give rishus to do something and it leads to damage to the person who's putter, such as an oven catching on fire where safety regulations were observed? That's on daf Kuf Yud Ches. Good. Number four, which daf do we talk about the number of prohibitions for taking a mill as a mashkon? That's on daf Kuvtes Vav. Good. Number five, which daf do we discuss dividing building materials of a collapsed building of two floors belonging to two people? That's on daf Kuvtes Zayin. Good. Number six, which daf do we machloz about who gets the vegetables growing in the vertical space between gardens? That's on daf Kuf Yud Ches. Good. Number seven, which daf do we want an employer who transfers the wages of an employee to a storekeeper does not transgress bal talin? That's on daf Kuf Yud Beis. Good. Number eight, which daf do you have questions about the tenant's right to move to the lower apartment, such as using the front entrance? That's on daf Kuf Yud Zayin. Good. Number nine, which daf do you have machlokes whether a shliach basin can enter the borrower's house to take a mashkon? That's on daf Kuf Yud Gimel. Good. Number 10, which daf do you have machlokes regarding habata behefker, whether watching ownerless property acquires it? That's on daf Kuf Yud Ches. Excellent. That was today's shir. This is Rabbi Yerum Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.